This country has me confused. The media has me angry. People have me in so much distress sometimes that I can't even focus. I know you guys are probably sick of hearing about it because I know I am too. But even feeling the way I do sometimes gets me pulled into becoming the person that I hate listening to. I turn into this angry, distressed person that pushes people away. Pushes people away by dimming my light and having this poisonous attitude. I become a lot like some of the Jews that Paul left Titus to deal with in Crete. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me over to our this evening's scripture, we'll be reading from Titus chapters 1 and 3. In Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 10, it says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain." If you jump down to verse 16, it says, "They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." These Jews are professing to know God. They're professing to be followers of him and to live the life that they want, that he wants them to. But through their words and their actions, they show themselves to be insubordinate, idle talkers, abominable, and disqualified for every good work. I think that last one is the most important, because I think that leads to the idea that they aren't able to complete their good works because of the attitude and the person that they portray themselves to be. What I want to focus on, though, is what Paul tells Titus to say in order to deal with this issue. I think there's a lot we can learn from it. In Titus chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2, and in verse 9, there are three things that we're warned of. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." Verse 1 says to be subject to rulers and authorities. And I know with this political climate, sometimes it can be difficult. But as long as we are not hindered to do God's work, we should be content. We should rejoice that we have the ability to do that work unhindered. And we should remind ourselves that God has put those authorities in place, and that he will judge those authorities one day. Going on in verse 2, it says, "To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, and showing all humility to all men." Be peaceable, humble, and not evil speaking of others. Do we want to be known as the person who causes division in the church? Do we want to be known as the person who, because of our attitude or because of the way we portray ourselves in public, drives someone away from asking about Christ, or drives someone away from, or or hinders us from being able to take an opportunity to teach someone about Christ. Finally, in verse 9, it says, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. I like this one the best, and I think this one out of the three is probably the most qualifying of what we're dealing with today. We need to avoid getting involved in pointless arguments and things that are going to take our focus away from doing what we're supposed to do in this life, and that is being Christ-like and bringing others to know Him. Because if you read on, for such things are unprofitable and useless. They have no meaning in our life. They have no benefit to where we are and who we are. But He doesn't just warn. He doesn't just tell Titus to warn them to avoid such things, but He gives them a way to avoid them. And that's in verse 8. In verse 8, he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Why do you think he wants us to maintain good works? Why do you think that maintaining good works would be the solution to not being involved in contentious subjects and getting involved in useless arguments? Well, when you're doing good works, what does that do? It takes our focus away from those things, first and foremost. It also helps us to build relationships and bonds with others. Not only does it, if we're doing good works for those that are of the church, not only does it strengthen those relationships, but also if we are doing good works outside of the church, it helps us to understand where other people are in life, to understand other people's positions, and to think about things from their perspective, so that maybe instead of getting in a contentious fight or argument with that person, we can sit down and have a discussion with them and maybe bring them to a different understanding. It also teaches a humble attitude of putting others first. It makes sure that we are not focused on me and we're focused on them, whoever it is that we're serving. And most importantly, it helps us to be like Christ, and through that example, potentially bring others to know Him. I like the way that Paul says it in verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So by maintaining good works with others, we are showing kindness and humility and mercy. And that helps us to be like Christ. It takes away the opportunities to be contentious, to be evil talkers, and it gives us the opportunity to do good things.